We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Tez Zayin Amid Be'ez at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. It says the Mishnah, Gozal Sodom Chaveroi, if somebody steals a field from someone else, from the Tol V'Natlu Masikin, people who take away from people property by force. And people took this property from the Gazlan. In Makkas Medinahu, that's if this is a problem that the entire country is suffering, that you have these people who are acting this way, Oimloi, the Gazlan can now say to the victim, Hareshul Chol Fanacha, take back your property. However, in Machmas HaGazlan, if it was only because it was the Gazlan's, that's why this field was taken from him, then the halacha would require that he should give him, he should replace it with another field. Begins the Gemara Menachem Bayitzchak Mandatani Masikin. The Gemara focuses on the proper spelling of the word in our Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bayitzchak Mandatani Masikin, the one that learns that the proper wording of our Mishnah is Masikin. Is Loi Mishtabish is not making an error, or Mandatani Mitzikin, and the one that says that the proper wording in our Mishnah is Mitzikin, also Loi Mishtabish is not making an error, explains the Gemara. Mandatani Mitzikin Loi Mishtabish, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, B'motzor u'b'motzoik ash yotzul chayvecha. So we see that the Torah uses the word motzik when somebody is causing damage, pain to someone else. Mandatari Masikin Loi Mishtabish Tiksiv, the Pasuk says, in the Teichochem, Kol Atzocha V'Priyad Mosecha, Yorish Atzlotzol, they will be eaten up by the grasshoppers, U'Metargaminon, and the Targum of that Pasuk is Yachsino Sako. So we see that when something is attacked, the word Masikin is appropriate. So we learned in the Mishnah. In Machmas HaGazlan, if it was taken away because the Gazlan of this property, then since it's the Gazlan's fault, then the Gazlan's Chayiv, he's responsible to replace that field. So ask the Gemara, Hey Chidami, exactly what is the case that our Mishnah refers to? Ilam Adan Tzula are the day that they only went after this property, V'Loyantzu Kula Arasa. They did not go after all other properties. So I asked him, why would the Mishnah need to say this then? Hamresh Shamitna. We already could extrapolate this halacha from the first din of the Mishnah. Could the Mishnah began in Makkas Medinahi? If this is something that everybody's suffering, he could say, Hamresh Shalcha Lefanechem. Clearly we see from there, Eloi, if it's not a Makkas Medina, it's not something that everybody is being affected, Loi, then he won't be Potter. So why does the Mishnah have to repeat itself? So, of course, Tosfos asked the question that it happens quite often in Shas, that even though what we could extrapolate is quite obvious, the Gemara still many times goes out of the way to say, the Mishnah says it anyway. So why over here is this so troubling? So Tosfos answers, if the Mishnah would have just said the halacha over simply, it would be acceptable. Why did the Mishnah have to, if the Mishnah was said, Vimlav, if it's not because of Makkas Medina, Chayiv. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat the Machmas HaGazlan? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is coming to teach us, the Achva Chuyay. This person heard that the people were coming to steal properties, and in order to save himself, he showed this property in order that this person should take that property and not his own property. So Rashi explains that the Mishnah is not speaking about that anybody stole a property. All it's speaking about is that he used somebody else's property to show that's where you should go after, don't go after me. That even though, as Tosfos and the Pnei Yeshua point out, that he didn't really do anything wrong because he didn't steal any property. But the fact that he showed a property that didn't belong to him and set it up that it should be taken away, he's in the category of a case that we're going to be speaking quite extensively in our shiur today. This individual is considered a gazlan. This person is considered onus. The Rama says the chiddusher is that he's considered a gazlan. And we would think, says the Rama, that when is a person considered a gazlan? A person considered a gazlan if he actually stole the field. But just pointing the field out to someone else maybe doesn't make that individual into a gazlan. So the chiddush of our Mishnah is that just the way the Gemara is explaining now, that just showing it makes you into a gazlan. And indeed, why? He just pointed it out. He didn't steal it. So the Rishonim point out, this goes back to something that we discussed earlier in our Masechta. This is considered a case of garmi. And even though we learned from our Masechta, that grum is potter, garmi is chayiv. But then Tosfos asks, we already learned previously in our Masechta the opinion of Rameya that garmi is chayiv. Why did our Mishnah need to say it? So he says that what we're trying to show that a Meiser is also considered, that he too is considered garmi. Says the Gemara Lishna Achrina, Hachmai Skinan, what is the case of our Mishnah? Kigoyin den su'av de kechavim. The Akum told this person, Achfilei hahu arisa, I want you to show me all of your property. And when he showed all of his property, what he included in showing, Vachmahu ba'adayu, he showed this property along with it. So says the Gemara, Hu gavir da achvei akye dechit de beresh glusa. There was somebody showed these anosim, the bundles of wheat that belonged to the Resh Galusa. Also kamei, Rav Nachman, so Resh Galusa brought in front of Rav Nachman this person for having shown his wheat. Chayv Rav Nachman Shlumei, Rav Nachman indeed said that he's financially responsible. Yosef Yosef Achur de Rav Huna Bachia, so Yosef was sitting behind Rav Huna Bachia, Yosef Huna Bachia kamei Rav Nachman, Amalei Rav Huna Bachia le Rav Nachman. Medina, this halacha that you now told us is because that is so, indeed is so the halacha, or is it only a knasa? It was a special fine that he was given because of inappropriate behavior. Amalei, so he says, Masnissen he, isn't what we're just learning an explicit Mishnah? Our Mishnah, because we learned in our Mishnah, the Tanan, and Machm Sagazlan, if it was the gazlan, that was the reason it was taken away. Chayv l'ha'am l'ha'isodah. He has to replace it. V'akvina, and we just finished explaining that what is the case, the achvir, that he showed it. So we see that in the case that where he showed it, that he's chayiv. So the Ravid asked a question. So our Mishnah says he's chayiv, but the Mishnah didn't answer if it's a knas or it's mammon. So the Ravid says that from our Mishnah it's clear that it's a knas. Basta nafik, Amalei Rav Yosef Huna Bachia. You had a question, this obligation to pay, where does it come from? Knas or mammon? So he said, my nafik loch menei. If he's going to have to pay, he has to pay. What's the difference? What type of a payment it is? Idina knasa. Amalei idina garmina melei. If we're going to learn it as a din, so then this could serve as a model, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that this would be a case of garmi, and we would learn from here that you're always chayiv by garmi. However, if the obligation to pay was only a knas, from a knas, it could be a unique situation, and there, like garmina minei, it would only be the halacha this way here, not anywhere else. Says the Gemara, not tamra. So ask the Gemara, and if it was indeed a knas, why can't it serve as a model for everywhere else? The Tanya Rishana, Hayu Oimrim. Hamatama, if somebody makes somebody else's produce, which is tar, tamei, v'manasech, or somebody pours somebody else's wine, tavadazara, which makes it also to be consumed. And in both these cases, these are situations of a concept that we've discussed, of hezeshen and nikar. The food that becomes tamei, of course, is tamei, may not be eaten, certainly under normal circumstances, but it's not obvious. tamei food and tar food look the same. And the same, somebody who poured the wine for avodah zarah, it's of course asur, but it doesn't look different than regular wine. Chazalim, and then they continue to say, half hamadame. Even if somebody mixes together truma and chulin, and now by mixing the truma and chulin together, only kohanim will be allowed to eat the mixture. Yisraelim may not eat truma. The halacha is that the person who does so will be held responsible. So points out the Gemara. Chazru in. The Chazal went and taught us this halacha explicitly. Loi chazru. Had they not taught it to us explicitly, loi, the halacha would not be that way. But why not? My tama. Because la mishum knasahu. The case of matame and manasseh represent the knas. And as we're learning, even though Chazal might have made a knas in one situation, or miknasah loi gemrinan, that doesn't necessarily serve as a source for all other situations. Says the Gemara Loi, that isn't the way to understand that brisa. Rather, the way to understand that brisa is the Mikar Savil Hefsa Meruba Chashu. Chazal concerned when the Chazal make a knas, when it's a significant loss. By Metama, Medama is considered a significant loss. If you Metama Truma, it becomes essentially worthless. If you make wine, Yayin Nesach, it becomes worthless. But in the case where you mix Truma and Chulin, so yes, it doesn't have the same value because it may only be eaten by Kahanim, but it still has value. And Lehefse Mu'ad Lechashu, and therefore, that's why we should not be able to learn one from the other. Saif Savri, and then they decided, Chazal said, Lehefse Mu'ad Nami Chashu, they're concerned even for Hefse Mu'ad. So I saw that the Mefarshim ask an obvious question. One of the principles in halacha is din pruta kedin meya. Halacha doesn't differentiate the amount of the amount involved in a din taira. So why over here would we say, well, here there's a greater loss and here's not such a significant loss? Where does that play a role in halacha? So I saw two terutzim. The concept of din pruta kedin meya is only said by a din taira. When somebody is approaching a din taira, he has to treat the din taira of a small amount of money with the same seriousness as he treats a din taira of a significant amount of money. Here we're not talking about din taira. Here we're talking about knas. And by knas, there isn't necessarily this concept of din pruta kedin meya. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we said a few moments ago, if we think about what we're learning in this Gemara, it's really a hezek she'en nikar. And as we've learned in our shiurim, a hezek she'en nikar lo yishmei hezek. And it shouldn't be considered an act of hezek. Chazal now extended and said that it is considered an act of hezek. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting, since it's really a hezek she'en nikar, maybe we ought to differentiate between a hefsed meruba and a hefsed muat. Eini, says the Gemara, v'tani avud Reb Oven. V'shonei Yomrahim tamim medami. He has a different version. That if somebody makes somebody else's truma tamei, or he mixes truma and chulin, he'll be chayiv, even though it's a hezek shen and nikar. Chazulam afam menacha. Afam menasach v'yipur tavadazara. Again, points out the Gemara, chazul in, only because they changed their mind. Loi chazul loi. Now, why should somebody being menasich be different than metama and medama? My tam lam shem dolam rinim kenasa. Because all these cases represent kenas, and we can't learn from one situation of kenas to another situation of kenas. Says my Lloyd, that's not the way to understand. Mikara savakreb of oven. Rather, the way to understand this brisa is originally they held like a oven, lopsoiv kreb yirmiya, and then they held like kreb yirmiya. And the Gemara explains itself. Mikar Savakreb Oven, Damarav Oven, Zor Chetz, Metchilas Arba, Lesoif Arba. If somebody, we, with Karish Rhyme, Be Lechasoi, Potter. Sherkirat Sarach Anochihi, Meschaim Benafshai. We know a number of halachas. One halach that we know is that there's a principle of Kimle B'Drabimne. If somebody does an act for which there's a Chiv Misa, and there's also financial responsibility, the halacha is that we only give the misa.
because we apply the concept of Kimleib the Rabbanei. So if somebody was Mechal Shabbos, and at the same time there was Mechal Shabbos, which carries with it a Chiv Misa, he also ripped somebody else's clothing, which carries with it a financial responsibility. If they happen simultaneously, so then we'll say Kimleib the Rabbanei. Now, the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos taught us that it's not considered an act of carrying until there's a Akira and Hanocha. So if somebody threw an arrow, and as the arrow was flying, it ripped somebody else's clothing. So the Akira took place, but there's no Chiv Shabbos yet, because you don't have a Chiv Shabbos until there's a Hanocha. But the Chiv Momin comes before the Hanocha. So we should not be able to apply here the concept of Akira, of Kimleib Rabbanei. So says the Gemara, Akira Tzarech Hanocha. Many different pshatim, how to learn Akira Tzarech Hanocha. The simplest pshat is that the Halacha views the Akira Hanocha as one act. So even though the Chiyuv Shabbos, for Chil Shabbos, doesn't come until after Hanocha, it's the Akira and Hanocha are viewed as one act. So says the Gemara, the same thing by Menasech. The Gemara was under the impression that when somebody pours Avodah Zarah, wine for Avodah Zarah, the Chiv Misa for Avodah Zarah, and the Chiv Mammon for ruining the wine come at the same time, and if they come at the same time, we'll say, Kimleib the Rabbanei. The moment he picked up the wine to pour it, Kanye, he becomes a Gazlan, and that's why Chayv Le Mammon. It's Chayv Nafshoy, Lehava until the Shas Nisach, and since it's at Shas Nisach, so therefore they're not happening simultaneously, and we don't say Kimleib the Rabbanei and Yechai for the Mammon for the Nisach as well. And the way the Ravid explains this Gemara, there's no machlokes here. There's a difference between throwing an arrow and pouring wine. When you pick up the wine, doesn't mean you're going to necessarily pour it. You could change your mind. But once you throw the arrow, you lose control of that arrow. That's why the Akira is considered already an act of Chil Shabbos. Just picking up the wine is not considered an act of Nisach. Rehuna bach Yehuda iklabei avyoni, osla kamei derova, oma leimasa, klo masa bol yotcha. Did you have any halachic questions in that place? Omalei, Yisrael shen so av the kachavim. The question that we began our share with today, where av the kachavim forced a Jew to show him his property, and what he did was, vehera mamma chaveri, he showed him somebody else's property, bol yadei, the chayavtiv, and the person that showed the other person's property, I obligate him to pay. Amalei, so Rava said to him, Ahada of the lamare, give back the money. You're paskin wrong. Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Yisrael shen so av the kachavim. If Yisrael was under this attack by an av kachavim, v'her mamin chaveroi, potter. However, only, says the Gemara, in the Brisa, im notel v'nosim biyad, the person actually picked up this item and gave it to the Akum, he'll be chayiv. Amar Rabba, continues Rabba, im herem atzmai, if he was not forced to show it, he voluntarily showed it, that the halacha views that kenosan biyadai, the halacha views it as if you actually gave it to him, because you didn't, since you did so voluntarily. So the Yamsha Shloima teaches us a number of details in this halacha. If somebody was forced to show property that's owned by Jews, and he wasn't told any specific Jew, but he showed the property of another Jew, he'll be held responsible. Why did you show another person's property? Why don't you show your own property? If he's forced to show where there's wine, and this person who was forced to show where his wine doesn't own any wine of his own, so therefore he had to show somebody else's wine, then he'll be potter. If there are two Jews, and one had more property than the other, and he could have showed either the property of the person who owns not that many property, or he could show his own property, he has to pay the difference. Why'd you show somebody else's property? Says the Gemara, Hahu Gavra, then Tzua Avdik Chavim. If there was the same story of Achva Achmer, for Mari Bereder, Pinchas Bereder, because they showed the wine that belonged to Mari. Amalei, Dari v'amtabadon, carry the wine and bring it to the king's home. Dari v'amtabadayu, so they brought the wine, asla kameder of Ashi, and then this question came to Ravashi, will he be held responsible? A patrinu, and Ravashi did not hold them responsible. Amalei Rabbanan Ravashi, v'tanya, didn't we just quote the Brisa that taught us, im notsa v'nosa b'yad, that if you show, not only did you show, but you actually carried somebody else's property, chayiv, you shall be held responsible. Amalei hanimili, hecha delay ikmalei meikara. When is that halacha that they weren't, he wasn't under any duress? And he, on his own, voluntarily showed somebody else's property. But hecha delay meikara, when he was forced to show all property, so the halacha views this property that he actually showed and brought as mikli kali, as if it's already non-existent, and therefore he wouldn't be chayiv. Esa Ravula Rav Ashi asked the Gemara on what Rav Ashi said. From a Braisa, the Braisa says, Amalei anas hoshli p'kia amir. Give me this bundle of straw. Ayeshka namzeh, or this bundle of grapes. For hoshli, and he actually gave him the grapes, the wool, chayiv, he's obligated. Now let's think about this. This is a case where the attacker was already here, and yet he's can be held responsible. But didn't we just say that if the attacker was already here, you will not be held responsible? Answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, to going to Koi betray Avad and Nahara. The case we speak about here is that the person who's attacking has no way of getting here. He's on the other side of the river. And since he's on the other side of the river, if you wouldn't have shown him and given him what he wants, he could have never have gotten it. And therefore, even though he began this conversation, you will be held responsible. And says the Gemara Deikonami that the proper way of understanding is that that's the case. He couldn't have gotten to this property without you. Because look at the wording of the Braisa, says the Gemara. Diktani, the Braisa used the word hoshit. Pass it over. V'loi, the Braisa does not use the word tani. 10. Shmamina, that it's Trey Avidahara. Says the Gemara, Hahu Shusa, there was a net that was put out to catch fish or animals. The Avamatsale Bay Trey, the two people that were arguing over it. Hai Amadidihav, one says it belongs to me, for Hai Amadidihav, and the other one says it belongs to me. Ozal Chaminayu, Masla Parhena de Melka, one of them gave it over to the tax collector of the king. Amrabaya, so Abaya says he's free and clear. Because Yochalaimer, he could always say, and now Kimasri, what did I hand over? The Dimasri. I didn't give over something that doesn't belong to me. I believe that it belongs to me, and therefore I have every right to give it over. Amalei Rava, the Kol Kimenei, can somebody make this claim legitimately? Alama Rava Misham Tinrelei, we put him to Cherim, Adamai Salei Vikambadina. We force him to come to Dentira, and there we'll see what it truly was the story. Says the Marhu Gavad Avaboy Achve Isfidit Chavri. There was a situation that somebody wanted to show somebody else's merchandise. Also came to Rav, and the question came to Rav, Omalei, Loitachvi. Don't show him, don't be near him, somebody else's property. Omalei, Machvina Machsina. I'm going to show it to him. Yosef Kahana Kamed Rav, Shantil Kumine, and he broke his neck for doing something so wrong. Karevalei, and Rav said regarding this situation, Banayach Ofu Shoch Varosh Kalchutsoi, Kata Michmar, like your children are laying out in the field like a wild axe that was caught. Once it's caught, there's no point in trying to have rachmanis on it. Af mamash Yisrael, when a person has to recognize that if he causes that the mamon of Yisrael ends up in the Akum's hand, that he will be held responsible, emir rachmanolav, and there's no reason to have rachmanis on him. So here the Gemara begins. the halacha of Mosor, where you give over somebody else's property. And the Meiri very nicely summarizes the halacha. If Akum forced you to show your property, and you showed somebody else's property, or even if you showed both your own and someone else's property, that's where you're going to be held responsible. That's what the Gemara says. If you showed somebody else's property without being forced, then the halacha is mutar laharga. You're even allowed to kill that moser. If you were forced to show somebody else's property, and instead of just showing it, you actually delivered it, you'll be chayiv. If you were forced to bring it, and he wasn't, but the person who was forcing you to bring it had no way of receiving it, we just learned, he was Trey Avra the Nahari, he was on the other side of the river, you'll be held responsible. If you were forced to bring money, nothing was identified, whether it's yours or somebody else, and you went, and instead of bringing your own property, you brought somebody else's property, so then you're going to be held responsible. If two Edom come and say that the Akum forced you to show somebody else's property, if the Akum forced you to show somebody else's property, you will be potter, says the Gemara. Who got Amar Laikana? Ada idna have a pasoid de la kabde shvichas damin. The Gemara speaks about this halacha that if somebody turns over property to the Avdik Chavim Emirach Malov, so says the Gemara of Kahana commented, we lived in Bavel where the Parsayim are not so concerned about murder. Now we live among the Greek, the Kapta Shvichas Damim, and who care about murder. V'amri Muradim Muradim, and they call out, murderer, murderer. Kum Sakla Tzisrael, go to Tzisrael. You shouldn't have killed the person. You live in a place where that's a big offense. The Kabbalah, and accept upon yourself the Leitikshala of Yerachin and Shevishnin, that you won't ask any question. You won't ask any question when you learn in the yeshiva for Rabbi Yochanan for 7 years, says the Gemara. Ozal, so Rav Kahana went to Yisrael. Ashkel Rish Lakish to Yosef Kamasayim Asifta the Yom LeRabbanan. He found Rish Lakish. What Rish Lakish's job was, that Rabbi Yochanan would say a shir, and after Rabbi Yochanan would say the shir, Rish Lakish would review the shir with the Talmidim. Amalei Rish Lakish Heichanu. So Rav Kahana asked the Bnei Yeshiva, Rish Lakish Heicha, where exactly could I find Rish Lakish? Amalei Amai, why do you need to find him? Amalei Hai Kasha, Vai Kasha, Vai Peruka, Vai Peruka. This is a question I could ask him what he said, and these are the answers that I could give. Amalei Rish Lakish. So they told Rish Lakish what Rav Kahana said. Also Rish Lakish, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. And now Rish Lakish went and reported this to Rabbi Yochanan. And he said, Ari Olam Bavel. A lion came from Bavel. A great person came from Bavel. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And therefore, he recommended to him, La'ayim Ma'ar B'Sifta L'Mochar. Prepare your shir for tomorrow very well, because there's going to be a big Talmud Chacham who could ask strong questions. L'Bochar Asur B'Dorah Kama Kamei. The way they sat at the shiurim was, it wasn't just that anybody got a seat. You sat according to your significance as a Talmud Chacham. And Rav Kahana was put in the first, Rav Kahana was put in the first row. Omishmatz, and now Rav Yochanan begins the shir. V'leak shmatz, v'leak shi. And Rav Kahana doesn't ask any questions. And then he says shmatz, he says another chiddush. V'leak shi, and Rav Kahana doesn't ask any questions. So since they saw they really didn't represent being a big Talmud Chacham, what happened was, they kept on pushing him back. They kept on pushing him back on the seven rows. Until he was sitting in the last row. The person you described as this great lion, Nasashul, is a fax. I don't see anything great. And the Chavetz Chaim says that this is not considered Lashon Hara, because everybody who attended the shir saw that he wasn't really participating. Amar, Rav Kahana, Rav Dahani Shavadar, Lahav Achil, Shavad Shadam Damali Rav. The embarrassment that I just suffered, where I was told that not to ask any questions for 7 years, and here I was pushed all the way back, that will cover for that. And now he says I could ask a question. Kamakari, he got up, Amalei, and he said to Rav Yochanan, Nahadam Aberesha, please start reviewing the shir. Amishmatzah, and Rav Yochanan said something, Aksha, and he asked the question. Oysavidar Kamas, he put him back to the front row. Amishmatzah, Rav Yochanan said another chiddush. Vakshir, Rav Kahana asked the question on that chiddush. So says the Gemara, as this was continuing, Rav Yochanan Aviyosa Asheva Bistruki, Rav Yochanan was sitting on seven mats, on seven carpets. Shafalei Chadim Mistruk Matusei, and they pulled out a mat because he was being asked questions that he couldn't answer. Amishmatza, he said another question, halacha. Vakshlei Rav Kahana asked on it, and again, Rav Yochanan wasn't able to answer. And what happened here was, says the Gemara, Adashafalei Kulei Mistrukim Matusei Adiyosav Alara. They kept on pulling out the rugs from under Rav Yochanan, and he was sitting on the ground. And when your Yoda says that why did this happen, just because somebody asks a question and he can't answer doesn't mean you're no longer the Magid Shir, you're no longer the Rosh Yeshiva. So Ben Yoyada says that Rav Yochanan assumed that the reason this was all happening was because he had embarrassed Rav Kahana, pulled him to the back of the Shir. Another pshat that he suggests is that Rav Yochanan wanted to be able to answer Rav Kahana. So his thinking was, if I'll be embarrassed publicly, that will give me the siyata d'shmaya that I'll be able to answer. They'll be able to answer the question. And says the Gemara, they kept on pulling this back. Ad the shafle kula, until they pulled out all kula bisrug matusei ad yosavara. Rabbi Yochanan sitting on the floor. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan gavra saba hava. He was an elderly person. Umasrukei gavina, and his eyelids with eyelashes were very long. Amalei dal einai, please open up my eyes. V'achsei, I want to see Rav Kahana. So says the Madalei b'machta aspa. He had like a pair of silver tongs, and they pulled it up. Now says the Gemara, Chaz de pati sfosai. Rav Kahana had a cut in his lips. Sover, and to Rav Yochanan, whose eyesight obviously wasn't that great, Rav Yochanan thought, Achuya Kamakaikla, Rav Kahana is laughing at him. Cholishtate, and Rav Yochanan was upset, V'noch Nafshe, and Rav Kahana passed away because he was so upset that he made Rav Yochanan upset. L'mach Amalei Rav Yochanan Rabbanan, the next day Rav Yochanan says to Rabbanan, Chazisul Bavlo, Hechi Ovid, did you see what this person, Rav Kahana, came from Bavlo, what he did to me, how he acted disrespectfully to me? Amalei, so the Rabbanan told Rav Yochanan, not that he was acting disrespectfully to you, Chas V'Shalom, that's the way his lips are, they're split. And so Rav Yochanan was now very upset. Olagabe Ma'arta, and he came to the cave where Rav Kahana was buried. Chazadava Hadrulai Achna, and he saw there was a snake surrounding this cave. Amalei Achna Achna, Psach Pumech, he said to the snake, open your mouth, V'konas HaRavei Etzel Talmud. So I, Rabbi Yochanan, should be able to visit my Talmud Rav Kahana. V'leposach, the snake did not open. V'konas HaRavei Etzel Chava, let two colleagues meet each other. And again, still V'leposach, it didn't open, let Rabbi Yochanan in. V'konas Talmud Etzel Rav. So then he said, let I, Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Talmud, come visit the Rav. At that point, Pasach Lehi, he opened up. So says the Gemara, Pasach Boy Rachmele, Rabbi Yochanan davened for Rav Kahana, Vukme, and he made Tchias HaMesim that Rav Kahana came back to life. Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Kahana, I have Yadana, if I was aware that Daka the Mar Hochi, that this is the way your lips look, Lechoshadate, I wouldn't have become upset. Hashta, but now I saw, and he asks Mechila, and he asks him, Lesi Marbadon, please join me. Amalei imatzus l'mbay rachman the sula shechivna. If you could guarantee me that you'll never get upset and cause me to die, azilna v'loy. But if you can't guarantee me that, loy azilna. That's the pashup shot. There's those the limp shot is that he said, I normally would want to come back. But once I died, he says, I don't want to come back. I already went through the pain of death. I don't want to come back. Says the Gemara, v'chol v'chol shat v'cholav. Because pashup shot, the Gemara is saying, he's saying just because one time you had the ability to be mechayim meisim doesn't mean you'll have the ability every time. Tyre, so if Yochanan made him get up, ukme, and he made tchias meisim. Shaila kosfeka davalei, Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Kahana every question that he had, upishtinan nahalei, and Rav Kahana was able to answer them. V'anad Rabbi Yochanan dulchon amri, Rabbi Yochanan said that the people in Eretz Yisrael would say that they are greater Talmid Chachamim. But I see that Rav Kahana, who is from Bavel, Dulhainhi, is really a person of, is really the person of who is the greater Talmud Chacham. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says there's such a powerful lesson to learn from our Gemara. Even according to Rav Yochanan, who thought Rav Lakish was ridiculing him, Rav Kahana was ridiculing him. He certainly wasn't ridiculing him. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. From here we see how serious it is that when you cause somebody else to be in pain, even though you didn't do anything and you didn't mean to do anything, but the reality is that that person feels bad because of you. As soon as somebody feels bad because of you, you are held. You are going to be held responsible, even though you had no intention to do anything wrong. Furthermore, we see that the way they sat by the shurim was that the Rebbe sat facing the Talmidim. And the poskim say that v'hoyei necha ro'eses merecha, seeing your Rebbe as he gives the shir and facing him is a skula, is a siyata d'shmaya, how a person could succeed, how a person could succeed in his learning. Says the Gemara, Hahud Afka Amtaksa. There was a person who showed silk garments to the Anus. Ataska de Rabbi, he showed Rabbi Abba's silk garments. Says Mar Yosef Abu Rakanina Basap Papi, Ravitsa Nafka Vyosar of Aloy Gabayu. Savala Chayuve, the person who showed this silk wanted to make him responsible, Mahodatsanan, based on what we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, that Flam Gimel Amar Aleph. The Mishnah there teaches us, Donas Adin, if somebody was involved in paskening the entire Vazikas Achayev Achayev Sazakai, and he made the innocent party guilty, innocent, Timas Atar Vatiras Atamei, or he made something which is Tar, Tamei, or Vaisa. Versa, the loch is Masha Asi Asi, what the dying did is final, Mishalem Mibesai. He's going to be held responsible. So here too, the Gemara was suggesting he should be held responsible for showing Rav Abba's silk garment. Amalei, Rabbi Law. So Rabbi Law says we can't bring a raya from that Mishnah. The only time you're going to be held responsible is when you actually physically turned over somebody else's property. Just showing alone is not enough. Amalei. So Chama said to Rabbi Abba, Zil gabed Rav Shimon ben Yaakov Rabbi Loz Badas, the dina din de gami. You should go to them because they hold that you're chayiv by garmi, and that's how you'll be able to get back the money that was the silk garment that was shown. Ozla gabayu, and he went to them. Chayvu masnisin. He used our Mishnah as a raya that they will be held responsible, because Mishnah said in machmas the gazlan, if the gazlan was the one that caused that this person should lose his property, chayv lahamloi sadachar. For Kibna, we explained that even if you didn't actually turn it over, but if you showed it, otherwise he would have never have known about it, then you will be held you will be held responsible. Says the Gemara, who gave the Avi Mafkid like Kasa the Kasba? He had silver cups kept by him for storage. So Ganvelei, Ganovim came here, Shaklu, and he gave in Yavelei. He took these gold silver cups and he gave it to them. And now says the Gemara, Osla Kamei the Rabba. The question was posed to Rabba: does he have to pay Upatri? And he said he doesn't. Amalei Abaya, Hai Maslatsma Mamun Chaverihu. The reason, if you use somebody else's objects to save yourself, you have to reimburse them. Elam Ravashi, Chazinan. We have to evaluate the situation. If the person who's watching these silver cups is a wealthy person, so then we could assume that Adati the Deyasi, these thieves came after him, because he has money that they were looking for. But if he himself doesn't have money, so then it's obvious that the Kaspasu, they didn't come after him. He doesn't have the wherewithal to pay. They must have come after this person, and therefore he won't be held responsible. Who gathered Avi Mafkid Gabe Arnica? There was a person that a wallet was left by him, and there was money that was collected for Pinyan Shvuyim in that wallet. Who Mafkid Gabe Arnica the Pinyan Shvuyim? Sliki Ganvele. Ganovim came to attack him. Shoklu Yavin Elayu, and he went to gave the Ganovim this wallet. Asla Kamei the Rava. The question came to Rava: does he have to reimburse him or patri? But ask the Gemara: Amalei Abayi, v'matzal atzma mama chaveru. Why is this not considered a situation where you use somebody else's money to save yourself that you must reimburse him? Amalei Ein Lecha Pin Shvuyim Gedol Mizeh. What was the purpose of the collection of this mammon? The collection of this mammon was for Pinyan Shvuyim. And now I am in the category of Pinyan Shvuyim, so the money was used for what it was intended. Who gathered the Agdim Vasa Chamer Lembra Kame the Sluka Inshim Lembra? A person put his donkey on a boat before the people came on the boat. Boilet Briyah. And the donkey got up while the boat was moving and was almost drowned. Also Gavra. So the person, one of the people, one of the passengers, Salach Leilachamida Hugavra, the Shadjil Nahara, he just picked up the donkey, threw it into the sea, Vatova, and it drowned. Also Kamei Rava. And now the person came to Rabba if he has to pay for the value of the donkey. Upatre. Amalei Baiva Matzalatzman Mama Chaveruhu. He used somebody else's money to save himself. And we're learning that when you use somebody else's money to save yourself, you have to reimburse him. Amalei. He said, "Hi, Mikar Radifu." The moment that it was put there, he becomes a Radif, and at that moment, you're allowed to do, as we're about to learn, whatever you need to save yourself. Because says the Gemara, "Rava Tamei Rava Radif Shai Radif Achaver LaHargoy." One person is chasing another person to kill him. The Shiber, and as this person is running, he breaks Kalim. Bein Shal Nirdaf. Whether the kalim belonged to the person that was being chased, or ben shakalada, or they belong to anyone else, potter. Shemeschayiv benashay. Anybody could do anything to save the nirdav, and therefore he's not going to be held responsible. Next case, the nirdav is kalim shalroidav. As the nirdav is running away from the roidav, he breaks kalim, potter. Shleimimana chavala memgufay. Because if the Torah said that the nirdof is allowed to kill the roidof, included in that is that he's allowed to save himself with the nirdof's objects. Avashakal Adam, but let's say the nirdof broke somebody else's kalim, he will be chayiv. Dosul hatzel atzmei mama chaveri. If you're going to save yourself, then you have to, with somebody else's money, you have to reimburse the owner of that money. Roidof shei roidof acha roidof lahatzel. If a roidif is running after a roidif to save the person that the roidif is running after, v'shava kalim, and as he's running, he breaks vessels. Bein shal nidav, bein shal adam. I got involved to try to help somebody, and while I'm trying to help somebody, I break somebody's kalim. Potter. V'loy min adin. It's not the exact halacha, Says the Gemara, if I won't say that that's the halacha, suggests the Gemara, ain lecha adam shematzas kael min aroidev. Chazal wanted to encourage that people should save other people. If they're going to be held financially responsible, they're never going to want to do so. So says the Gemara, somebody stole somebody else's property, which was by the river, and then the river, and there's a concern that there's going to be a flood. The shatvanar amalai, and then it indeed got flooded. The gazlan could say reshal chalaf nechem. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan goes to sod mechaver v'shatvanar chayiv lahamid soda acher. You have to replace it. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, that's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Chama imrim hareshal chalaf nechem. Ask the Gemara, Maikam afki. What is the basis of this machlokes? Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar darish, and this is an approach to psukim. The psukim that could be, they have the same type of pasuk. It could be learned as a ribi meet ribui. It could be learned as a klal prat a klal. When you learn something as a ribui meet ribui, you end up including much more than a klal prat a klal. So he learns it as a ribi meet ribui. The Torah says regarding hashavas kzela, the kichesh b'misa. First, I swore falsely denying the claim ribui. Then the Torah says the kodim. It's referring to when I was asked to watch something. Miyut, so it's limited to the kodim. And then the pasuk says, Mikol Shishava Lov L'Shakar, Chaz V'Ribui. So this, says Rabbi Elazar, is a situation of Ribi Miyut, Ribi, Ribi Akol, that we're saying that this halacha applies by all objects. On my Rabbi, Rabbi Kod Mili. Even property, the halacha of Heshev Gzela applies. On my Miyut, the only thing that's excluded is Miyut Shtaris. Because a document has no inherent value. Rabbanan darshi, the Rabbanan learn it with klal prat. The kichesh is a klal. The kodem is a prat. Oy mikol ashiyavel av shekel chaz a klal. And says the Gemara, the rule is klal prat to klal yatadarik elkein a prat. It has to be similar to the prat. Ma prat dovem etatel gufa mamon. When we speak about a kodem, it's something that's movable and has value. Af kol davar gof tatl gof mumen. Yotzka kos, real estate. Shein metatlin, you can't move real estate. Yotzka avodim shuk shel kakos. Throughout haloch avodim and kakos travel together. And yotzka shtar shabbi shem metatlin, like we just explained, ein gof mumen. So according to the Chachamim, there's no chiv hashava by karka. And Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, disagrees. If somebody stole an animal and was drowned, the gazlan has to replace that animal. Rabbi Elazar, he could say racial chol for necha. Hosma my pligi. What is the basis of that machloikus? Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, hosma my eskinen. To go and shul gazel sodem chaveroi. Where you stole a field for somebody else. For hoisa. And there's an animal on that property, and that was then the shatanah. The Belezel Tamei, the Belezel says that any metamplin that's on a parker is treated like kaka because it's a kinyan agav. So just like the karka nixelis, the para goes along and he has to do a shava. Rabbanu Tamayu, the karka ain't a nixelis, and anything that's agav the karka is also not nixelis.